Yo, it's Technical Foul Podcast, man. Here with my boys, Abdi and Miles.
Lil Gap, what's up?
Abdi, you guys know.
Hey, you already know the squad, man. You know, we better go through a bunch of topics today. We're going to start off with the top eight teams, in our opinion, from both the East and the West, followed by our early predictions of the season awards. Who we think are going to grab the awards, who, you know, may not pull up this year. As far as the news, we're going to talk about the two hottest players, man. We're talking about James Harden and his theatrics off the court, as well as Kyrie Irving, a.k.a. the IG snitch talker, you know, rambler, man. This guy is just going off the chains. But we're going to start off with the top eight teams, man. Let's start off with the East, because we all know the East is the greatest conference there is. I'm going to start off with my boy Abdi, man. You know, he is an NBA guru when it comes down to the Eastern Conference. So I'm curious to hear what he says. Abdi, what you got, man, for the top eight teams?
All right, so I was doing the Eastern Conference and I had a hard time. Bro, so I'm just going to go with the top five right now. Milwaukee, Boston, Brooklyn, Philly. And then five, six, seven. Actually, I take that back. Six, seven, and eight were pretty tough. I had Toronto at five, Miami at six. Indiana, man. Indiana, people forget about Indiana. You know what I'm saying? Victor Oladipo, Sabonis. I think they still got Miles Turner, too. They're at seven. And then eight, bro. I think there's going to be a play-in tournament between Atlanta and Washington with Washington's new addition of Russell Westbrook and then what they did in the draft. I think people are sleeping on them, bro. So, like, seeing Washington as a possible AC is not out of the picture. Atlanta stacked up during the offseason, as we talked about in the last two previous episodes, with Trae Young as their – the face of the franchise for now. We also Clint Capella did yesterday in such a short amount of time, almost notching up that double-double in 20 minutes. Like, that's big, bro. So, like, having that big that he could possibly toss it up to. A bunch of people were comparing Trey and Clint to CP3 and Blake, or CP3 and DeAndre, where it's like Lob City version, like the second version of Lob City, which I wouldn't, you know, take out the picture as well. I don't know what Maz has. I'd like to hear his take as well.
So I'm going to have my top five listed as well between the East and the West. So for the East, I have the Nets, the Sixers, Milwaukee, Miami, and the Pacers. I think the Nets, just off of talent alone, could be in that top three spot. I need to give y'all some credit with Boston, so I could throw them in there as one of the top teams too. They've got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. You know they're capable of, and I think they're going to be actually one of the best duels in the league this coming season. We can't count out Miami. We definitely can't do that. They're just fresh off of a championship contending run, and I think that Bam is going to improve, as well as Jimmy. You know, he's going to be on a mission to get back into the finals this next coming season. And they re-signed Goran Dragic, so they retain their chemistry. And I think that they're going to actually be a force. And then Milwaukee, I love Jrue Holiday, and I love his game. I think he's going to be a great addition to their team. So they're going to be a threat. We'll see what ends up happening if Giannis is happy enough to stay. But that's going to actually shape a lot of the future, depending on how they finish. And the Pacers, like you had mentioned, Abdi, they are definitely not a team to be slept on, just because Sabonis, people don't talk about him enough. He was an all-star this last season. People forget about that. He's a presence. He's one of the last true big men in the league, I thoroughly believe. And they do have Miles Turner. They have, what's that boy's name? Michael Jordan of the bubble. Mr. Somebody give me his name, because I'm blanking on it right now.
TJ Warren.
That boy is actually a force. And they have Malcolm Brogdon. So they're a formidable team themselves. For the West, I'm going to go ahead and try to be as unbiased as possible. But my Lakers, most definitely, I think they're going to be back at the top spot once again. You got the Clippers, just because of their talent with Kawhi and PG off of the rip. I think Dallas is going to be a force once again because of Luka, Porzingis, and their chemistry is only going to get better. And they got their true center back in Dwight Powell. And I also believe that Portland is going to be a force since they did get Enes Kanter. And they were able to make some good moves in the offseason, along with having Melo back, who looked like Hoodie Melo this last preseason game that we saw. He was actually snapping. And we have, lastly, Phoenix. I think that they're going to be a force as well, just because CP3 can carry a team. We've seen him consistently get his team to the playoffs. And although he haven't been far, and the furthest he's ever really been is the conference finals back when he was with the Clippers, I think with this matchup that – with this backcourt that he's going to have with Devin Booker, they're actually going to go at least the second round, I think. And then not – I said that was my last pick, but I forgot about Denver. And that boy Jamal Murray and Jokic gave my team a run for their money this last postseason, and they showed it scared the hell out of us. I know that Jamal Murray can hoop. I've seen what he's been capable of, and I think this year is going to be quite interesting. But you can go ahead, Johannes, with your predictions, man, your top teams.
Yeah, man. So I'm just going to start off with the East, and then I'll lobby back to the West. For the East, look, come on, man. You guys are too nice giving credit to teams, you know, getting certain players, making certain moves. But let's cut the crap, all right? There's going to be a solid amount of teams that make it and a solid amount of teams that are just going to just do awful regardless of their pickup. So number one in the East, it's going to be Milwaukee, man. Milwaukee has the same roster, basically. You know, they're the only team in the East that really didn't make any moves other than Jrue Holiday. I mean, everybody else is still basically the same guys on the team, you know, especially the three guys that were supposed to go to Sacramento. They're still in Milwaukee. Jrue Holiday, you know, he has a high IQ, man. It's just going to be a simple transition for him, I believe. And Milwaukee's always been a regular season team, so they're one. Two, Abdi, you already know where I'm going with, man. Boston Celtics, don't sleep on Boston. Boston's taking over the East. You better believe that. Everybody that's DMing me from what I posted yesterday, y'all trash, bro. Because, listen, the Celtics have the greatest duo for the league to come, man. They've taken over the NBA. I don't want to hear about Luka, Kristaps, or any of that crap. It's Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum's league. All right? So that's who I got for number two. Right? Great additions, by the way. Three, this is a gamble, but I'm going to go with the Brooklyn Nets, right? Assuming everybody's healthy, I mean, they are a juggernaut, man. You got KD. You got that point guard over there, too. And then you got, you know, Dinwiddie, you got LeVert, you got a squad out there, you know, you got Allen, you got a bunch of guys, great young coaching staff where I think that Mike D'Antoni is really going to help Steve Nash and Amar'e Stoudemire as far as, you know, their first time coaching stint and, you know, help them out and just help them get adjusted, have great ownership and championship pedigree. I mean, your two stars got championships already. So Brooklyn three, Toronto. Number four, even though they lost Ibaka, even though they lost Marc Gasol, you can't hate on their core, man. They brought back Van Vliet, you know, what they call Frederico, right? That's what Drake says. You know, you bring him back on a four-year deal. You still got Siakam, who's still evolving. You got Kyle Lowry, who's still top seven point guard in this league. You know, I'm not going to say five, top seven. You bring in Aaron Baines, great addition. And, you know, Toronto's always done well in the regular season. I don't know where they're going to do or where they're going to stand in the playoffs, but I got them at number four. Number five, Miami. You know, they did lose some good pieces with Jay Crowder and Derrick Jones. But like Miles said, you know, you still got Jimmy. You still got Bam back. You know, you got Tyler Hero, who had a great rookie season. I think he's just going to evolve from that. And, you know, they showed everybody what they're about. Philly at six, right? Doc Rivers is going to transform that team. You bring in championship guys like Danny Green and Dwight Howard. You got shooters with Seth Curry out there with them. I mean, we already know that. Now, this is where it gets interesting in the East, right? I have Indiana at 7, but I was close to having them not make the playoffs, believe it or not. And here's why. I had Indiana 7, Atlanta 8, for the simple fact that Atlanta picked up so many great, great, great players, right? Great leaders, great players. But then we have that Washington issue, right? So Washington, Atlanta, Indiana, 2 out of 3 makes it. I had Indiana at 7 for the mere fact that you still got Oladipo, you got Brogdon, you got TJ Warren, you got Sabonis, you know, you got Miles Turner. I have them at 7, Atlanta at 8. But I'm going to say that I will not be surprised if Indiana does not make it and Washington boots them out. So I'll get back to the West. I want Abdi to take his top 8 teams in the West, and I'll come back to it.
Yeah. Well, wait, Giannis, who's your fifth place team on the East real quick?
Fifth. So I'm just going to run it back all down. 1, Milwaukee. 2, Boston. Brooklyn, 3. Toronto, 4. Miami, 5. Philly, 6. Indiana, 7. Atlanta, 8.
Okay. All right. So in the Western Conference, I have the defending champs, Los Angeles Lakers, as the first seed. They revamped their roster. I think they had the best offseason so far. Well, offseason's done. Preseason started last night. Abdi, that's just my thinking, I guess, being a doofus. But yeah, Lakers at 1. The JV team at 2. I'm not going to say their names. 3 is the Golden State Warriors. 4, Portland. 5, Denver. 6, Utah. 7, Dallas. And then the play, I think, honestly, both conferences are going to have that play-in tournament. Phoenix and New Orleans is going to play in for that 8 seed. New Orleans has, well, with the loss of Jrue Holiday, they gained Steven Adams, and that's a big presence, you know. And then Phoenix, I've been high on them all season. All off season and then all throughout the end of the last season in the bubble, where, as Miles said before, they were the bubble champs. Am I right, Miles? So that playing tournament is going to be fun to watch. Hopefully we get to see that, but I don't see any surprises in the Western Conference, you know? Yeah, but that's my Western Conference team. 1, LA, and then the JV team at 2. I just have to say that again, the JV team.
Yeah. Go ahead. Laugh it up, right? Yeah, laugh it up. Listen, I also got the Lakers at 1, unfortunately, just because of AD. I don't really care about Bron, but I got them at 1. Great offseason moves. Championship team, you know, defending champs. So, I mean, you got to beat them at 1. I got Clippers at 2. They didn't get a point guard, which is very, very unfortunate. It really hurted me to see that Patrick Beverley was starting as point guard again last night, which is just an awful thing to watch. He's a great player, but not a starting point guard. But addition with Ibaka, I like that. I really think that the guys have something to prove, right, especially with being the clowns of last season. 3, I got Denver because Jamal Murray is a problem. You know, they lost Grant, but if Jamal keeps it up, MPJ keeps it up, I really, really think that Denver is just going to be a problem in the West. 4, I got Dallas. Great move by picking up Josh Richardson. You know, Luka's still evolving. Kristaps hopefully will, you know, continue to get better and recover from that injury 2 years ago. This is where it gets interesting. I got Portland at 5 because they got great, great role players, man. Covington, Rodney Hood, back, Canner, Giles, you know, Melo off the bench, you know, Gary Trent stepping it up from last season. They got great pieces there. Houston at 6, assuming that Harden plays and assuming that John Wall and DeMarcus are most of what they were. Golden State at 7, don't play with them. They got great pieces with Oubre and Wiggins and Wiseman. And then at 8, believe it or not, I had the Utah Jazz, although I almost had the Utah Jazz not making it in the playoffs because that leaves Utah and Phoenix, right? Maybe New Orleans and them too, but I'm going to squeeze in the Utah Jazz and I'm going to have the Phoenix Suns not making it to the playoffs this upcoming season, man. Just because of the fact that, of course, they add a CP3, but there's another issue that nobody talks about. Their bench. They got rid of Rubio, no Baines, no Kelly Oubre. You did all that to bring in CP3. So he's going to have to really carry that team. If not, I mean, outside of him, Booker and Ayton, you don't really have anybody else. You know, you have Jay Crowder, which is a great piece. But other than that, you have Miles Bridges or Mikal Bridges? I mean, this is gonna be your fifth best player on a playoff team out west. I don't really think that's gonna work out, but Phoenix might have a chance, but I don't have them making them the playoffs. And New Orleans might have a chance, but like I said, I don't have them making the playoffs right now as well. I don't know if anybody else has anything to comment off my top eight or of these top eight, but I'm gonna let you guys all said it. Yeah, Abdi, go ahead.
What's the disrespect you have towards Phoenix, bro? They literally revamped their entire roster, bro. Like, honestly, like, you're sitting there saying they lost Alex Len, they lost Ricky Rubio, blah, blah, blah. Like, yo, bro, Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, come on, bro. Like, they already have a solid core, plus a healthy Devin Booker and a healthy DeAndre Ayton. Like, you're literally sleeping on them, bro. It's a consistent, ongoing thing for you. Go ahead, Giannis.
Let me interject really quick. I hear what he's saying, though. Abdi, because I mean, I have Phoenix making the playoffs too, but if you consider that Utah does have chemistry like already together, then they're neck and neck, I would say, between those two teams, just because we see how close they were between Denver last year. So honestly, the way that the West is stacked up, I mean, those two spots could end up flipping. Like, it could be the last couple of games. But go ahead, Giannis.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say this, right? I'm not sleeping on Phoenix because I have him there. But what I'm saying is I'm going to list out my top eight again, MD, and I want you to tell me who you're going to take off and replace with Phoenix, right? One, the Lakers. Two, the Clippers. Three, the Nuggets. Four, the Mavericks. Five, the Trailblazers. Six, the Rockets. Seven, the Warriors. Eight, the Utah Jazz. Who do you replace with the Phoenix Suns in that top eight?
Oh boy, that's tough because I didn't even put Houston in mind. Damn, I'm stupid.
The Denver Nuggets. Damn. I mean, what I say that for? The Minnesota Timberwolves, you could say.
Oh man, that's crazy. See, the West, bro, that's a toss up. That's a toss up.
Yeah, it's tough, right?
It's tough.
That's why I said I think Phoenix possibly could make it just because of CP3 is at the end of his career, going towards the end of his career, and he's going to be playing like a madman. That's what I'm banking on. And between him and Devin being so frustrated, I think he's going to take all his frustrations out on this season.
Giannis, real quick, man. Wait, what would you have Houston as?
I had him at six right now, assuming that John Wall and DeMarcus are fully healthy.
You had Portland at seven?
I had Portland. So I had Portland at five, Houston six, Golden State seven, Utah eight.
Okay. All right. Yeah, man. That's tough, bro. I don't know, man. I can't believe I left Houston out. That's stupid. That's dumb of me. I gotta rethink of what I – oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, no
I left
hate
him
on-
out, too. Don't feel bad, bro. This is – it's such a – it's tight. It's so tight. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't know about the chemistry.
Yeah, I mean
– Harden.
The thing is, yes, there's a chemistry thing, but when you look at the West, they're so stacked up that I look at the depth of every team, right? And all these teams that we listed – all have four or five guys that could really, really, really shoot the ball, you know, just ball out. But then I look at Phoenix, and they traded most of their not their core, but their role players in order to have CP3, a Booker, both two established players. Ayton is still evolving. I don't think he's going to be that dude for another year or two. But outside of those three, you really only have Jay Crowder. I mean, you have Jay Crowder, Dario Saric, Mikal Bridges, like those aren't guys that are going to bring you to the playoffs, you know, like assuming Chris Paul gets hurt or Booker gets hurt for a few games, that's really going to cost them towards the end of the season. So that's why I have them off that top eight. But just kind of going from there. Yeah, go ahead, Abdi.
So let me just, bro. So like, you know, I'm going to just take out New Orleans and have Phoenix play in the, yeah, because that's disrespectful. Come on now. That's stupid. Like, I should smack my own neck for doing that. So I take out New Orleans, Phoenix versus Houston in that play-in tournament. There, now I feel better about myself now.
All right. You know, I honestly, with the whole Rockets situation, I really don't know what the Rockets are going to do. You know, I mean, there's already chemistry issues, new head coach, injured guys. I mean, I really don't know what to say. Miles, I'm gonna let you wrap it up, and then we're just gonna move on to the next next round.
Yeah, so for the West, I did have New Orleans and Houston actually for that play-in. I think that Houston would end up winning, but just because I believe that New Orleans is actually going to have a hell of a season solely because of Zion Williamson, and I think that he's actually going to be the player that we all thought he was. I mean, last year, him being injured and playing on injuries and still being able to average, what was like 21 points a game and some odd rebounds, like he was – not at full strength. I think people are going to – I know it's funny because I would talk so highly of Ja Morant and how he was going to get rookie of the year, but I knew what was – what the circumstances were with Zion's physicality and health. So I think that New Orleans is going to be a force to be reckoned with. They could end up sneaking in there for all I know, but I think it might – possibly be between them and Houston off the strength of I don't know what the chemistry is going to be like just because of how Harden's starting the season off. And if he ends up staying there, I mean, we can learn from what happened when AD was trying to force his way out and what ended up happening with the season. That's just me learning from history. And then when in the East, I'm going to go with Atlanta and Detroit. Detroit is, y'all forget Blake Griffin when healthy is a fucking animal, excuse my language, but he's actually improved his shooting from the outside. He's one of the more premier players in the post in the mid range. So I think with the addition of Jeremy Grant and them having Derrick Rose, they're gonna fight their way to try to get into that bottom seed. We saw them 2 years ago when they were healthy, before they even had Derrick Rose. When Blake was healthy, they were actually able to get to that AC spot. So I believe that with the healthy Blake Griffin, a healthy roster, they're going to try to beat Atlanta, which is going to be tough because they're so stacked with all those free agent pickups that they had. I think it's going to be it's going to be between them two for the East.
Yeah, all right. So next topic, man, we're going to talk about our pre-early predictions of the season awards, man. You know, it's going to be a long season, but, you know, you're standing in front of three gurus right here who know basketball. So we'll talk about that real quick. So the way it's going to work is I'm just going to break it down by each category and just kind of go around the room. For the MVP, right, I personally think it's going to be a very, very easy pick with Luka Doncic. I mean, this guy, you know, Luka, man, is a walking triple-double, man. I mean, he damn near embarrassed the whole Clippers organization by himself, right? And the only reason the Mavericks did not beat the Clippers is because Kristaps Porzingis was hurt, man. I mean, other than that, Luka had everybody on the edges, man. You know, he was just taking everybody out one by one. PG, you got annihilated on the defensive end, bro. You were really, really struggling. Kawhi, I love you, bro, but you too. And I really just think Luka's just going to explode and just carry that team. I mean, that Mavericks are the only team really that are contending for a title that is consisted of just one guy, really. You know, Porzingis is a superstar, but Luka's going to carry that team, though, to the promised land, man, at one point. So, Miles, what you got, bro, for the MVP?
I can't believe the disrespect. Well, I get that that Luka is a good player, but for you to pick him over LeBron James is criminal. That's who I have as MVP next year because he made the argument. He was in the race, in the hunt for that final spot, runner-up, in my opinion, for MVP after Mr. Giannis Antetokounmpo. But this year, I mean, the man didn't even leave the gym. He went and started working out right after he won. He's trying to chase greatness. So what do you think he's going to do this season? He's going to have a consistent season like he always has. He's going to put up numbers, averaging probably somewhere like 25-odd points a game and probably almost put up a triple-dub this season, I think. So we've got more weapons. And for you to come out and pick a player that hasn't been in the league as long and hasn't had the resume like he has yet is it's kind of insulting, Johannes. I mean, shouldn't expect anything less from a former Clippers bandwagon fan, but I mean, it is what it is. Go ahead.
I've been, as you guys know, I've been very, very vocal about who the 2021 NBA MVP is, but I wanted to be realistic. So sorry, Jason Tatum, it's not you, bro. As much as that hurts, you know, I'm still going to campaign for you, you know, but Johannes, man, I agree with you. It's Luka Doncic. Last year's early exit in the playoffs, especially without Kristaps, what we saw him do throughout the season. Last year, I think 2020 alone, he had 17 triple-doubles, which was the most last year. He just elevates his game every year. You know, I think this is going to be his third or fourth year. Third year, right? Third? Yeah, third year. And the league needs a new face and they're tired of giving, and I doubt they're going to give back-to-back-to-back to Giannis, especially with the addition of Drew, where he's going to have the ball less now. But it's time for a new face, and the new face is Luka Doncic.
That's not going to happen until LeBron retires.
Hey, listen.
Buddy, I'm not talking about like the face of the league. I'm talking about like this is the story that we're going to follow, Luka's story. This is it. This is going to be the face of the league this year. Giannis was the face of the league the last 2 years, you know?
I still think it's LeBron, but that's debatable. Agree. Hey,
listen. LeBron had the easiest championship of all time this past year. Okay, I don't want to hear it. Giannis, he's a great individual. Great, great, great storyline, man. He really worked his behind off to make it to where he is right now. But listen, I'd rather have the MVP award go to Bam Adebayo than him. But listen, if you get exposed, damn near swept without Chris Middleton doing what he did, you don't deserve the MVP. I'm sorry. But now transition to the Defensive Player of the Year award. I will give a Laker this award. I will give to Anthony Davis because I believe that he really is the greatest defensive player in the league that can guard 1 through 5, right? And he really did. He said at Media Day 2019, he said that he wanted the Lakers to be the greatest defensive team in the league, and he said he wanted to challenge LeBron to play the best defense as he's played since Miami, in which both of those happened, which translated to an NBA championship, right? And unfortunately, he didn't get defensive of the player last year, which I think he got robbed completely of. So I really just see him just continuing this grind. I mean, I obviously the Lakers are going to continue their success, and it's going to be behind Anthony Davis. LeBron's going to do what he does best, but the dirty work is going to come from AD, especially where you don't have Dwight and JaVale anymore, right? You don't have anybody down low who's going to protect the paint other than Marc Gasol, really, and an undersized Trez. But I got AD, defensive player of the year. And I'll be surprised if he doesn't get it.
Johannes, you took the words right out of my mouth, man. He did get robbed last year. He had some good stats that he put up last year, and he even made it known he's going to be the defensive anchor for the Lakers organization, for a championship organization. So I think he's going to come back with that same mentality this year. And along with the lack of post presence that we have, granted, Marc Gasol, he's a smart defender, but he's not nearly as laterally quick as AD is, in which has the ability to guard all five positions. And I think it's going to make the difference in next season.
Hey, man, listen, Miles, bro, I know you're a big Lakers fan, bro. You know what I'm saying? LeBron James, he's aging. I love him to death. Anthony Davis, he's fragile. Still love him to death. Okay? But go ahead.
You forgot to add the word champions to the end of the sentence, but go ahead.
I'm going to be completely honest here. If we were talking about robbed, I'm just going to be a homer and say my guy Marcus Smart got robbed last year and he's going to get it this year. He had a, he solely focuses on defense every single game. Last year, I hate to say it, the year before he got robbed too. It's time for the league to have a guard win that award. And there's no other guard to take that award other than Mr. Marcus. Marcus!
Hey, no, I kind of saw that answer come from Abd, which is why I said that, you know, why we have this order of who answers these upcoming awards. I mean, he's a great defensive player, and I agree that he's got robbed so many times. I mean, Marcus can guard 1 through 5, and he's 6'4". You know what I mean? Like, he really goes after it, dives for the loose balls, guards whoever. He's not scared of anybody. You know, he'll take on any assignment. So I agree. I think they both should be right in that mix. Now to Rookie of the Year. Abdi knows well, and I think Miles, too, knows that I'm not a fan of this draft, and I'm not a fan of most of these guys here. And it really stinks that I'm going to say the answer that I'm going to say, because I think he is actually going to be the most overrated player in the next 10 years. But I think he'll win the Rookie of the Year award, which is going to be LaMelo Ball, for the reason being that Anthony Edwards and Wiseman are both in scenarios where they're not going to be the number one, maybe not even the number two option, right? You got D'Angelo and Cap in Minnesota. Then you got Steph, if Klay comes back, Kelly Oubre, you know, it'll be tough for Wiseman to get in that mix. But I think LaMelo, I mean, right off the bat, this is his franchise, right? I mean, he hasn't even played one single game, and they already gave him the keys to the franchise. And I really expect him to score in a hoop. I mean, they don't really have any expectations out in the East. I mean, nobody has him competing for a playoff spot. They might get a top three pick again next year. So I really think that he's going to have a great season. His future, I don't really know. I really think he's overrated. He's a great player, but his maturity and his defensive skills are kind of questionable, in my opinion. But LaMelo, Rookie of the Year award, in my opinion. Miles, who you got, man?
Yeah, we had the same pick for that one, Johannes. Once again, I think LaMelo is going to be the focal point of the offense just because of his experience. I also think that he will improve his overall shooting, just because there were some questions. He was shooting like 20% from behind the line back in the NBL, but I think that's going to be set to improve. His ceiling, I see it being somewhere like how Alonzo's is with his game and just because of his build. Mind you, he is going to be sharing the ball with Gordon Hayward, but I think for the most part, they're going to put him in a role where the offense is going to cater to his abilities. And I think, like you said, those other top three picks with Wiseman and the other cat, they're not going to be the focal point in the offense. So that's going to allow LaMelo to get far in ahead, and hopefully he breaks out in the future and has the follows in this upside, just because I think he could be a formidable scorer. Aside from that, I don't know what his ceiling is besides what I've seen with his brother. So I'll have LaMelo winning Rookie of the Year.
Okay, well, I see a little trend going here. LaMelo's great. I'm not going to discredit his amazing, you know, ball handling, you know, his subpar shooting, but I honestly don't see him as Rookie of the Year. I think there's a lot of people that are sleeping on the actual Rookie of the Year, focusing on that, on those top three picks. And as Johannes stated, there was it's probably one of the boringest drafts because we have no idea like what these players are all about. Like, we saw who Chicago picked with the 4th pick. Who the heck was that? Like, we have no idea. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was a bench player. But my pick is Mr. Homegrown himself, Obi Toppin, bro. 4 years at Dayton. You know what I'm saying? I watched the game last night, the preseason game, and he looked amazing in the 23 minutes he was on. I think he had 17 points and near double-double as well. He showed a lot of signs of his athleticism and he has size. People compare him to Amari, but I honestly think his ceiling is higher than that. Like, I believe that this is going to be – he will be the face of that franchise for a long time, and people should watch out in the future. He will win the Rookie of the Year. Go ahead, Johannes.
Yeah, no, this is how I know that Abdi and I are good friends, because I kind of knew that he was going towards that. I mean, he really does have – he's also in a position where the keys – belongs to him, right? I mean, yes, RJ Barrett is that guy as well, and you know, you got other young pieces, but really, I mean, I really think that New York is just gonna center around Obi and really work around him. And Obi, like the Knicks, they don't have anywhere they're going anyway, so Obi can just get the ball and do what he needs to do and maybe really win that award. Most improved player of the year. This was the toughest one. I had two players, but I'll say the two guys, but the one that I really think is gonna win it, Jamal Murray, for the fact that when you look at his regular season stats, he averaged 18 points, 4 assists. I do not believe that he will have that or less than that this upcoming season. I really could see him hitting a 24-8 mark, something close to that, because he just went off in the playoffs. I mean, anybody with a brain and two eyes saw that he really just dominated and took out the Utah Jazz with multiple 50-point games. Did the same thing against the Clippers. And I just really see him, you know, in that bigger role this upcoming season. I did, as my backup, real quick, have Gary Trent Jr. as my most improved player. It's a wild card, but I believe that when you look at his first two seasons in the league compared to what he did in the bubble and the playoffs, he showed so much promising signs, and he really took on LeBron with that defensive assignment and did well in the offensive end. He's in his final year of his contract, where negotiations for the extension have kind of fallen apart. So I really think he's going to bottle out just to show Portland that, you know, I'm worth X amount of dollars and really, really come out. But Jamal Murray is obviously my pick. And I'm really curious to see what Miles and MD have to say. Miles, go ahead, man. What's your pick?
Okay, this one was probably the toughest one out of all of them, just because there's so many players that are on the rise right now. But my pick, and I'll give you my top two. My pick actually was also Jamal Murray, just because of what he showed me last year. I don't think he's going to average less than 25 points this next season. He's definitely a baller. He's smart. He's sneaky athletic. I didn't know he could do all that. And he really surprised me in this postseason. So I really think he's going to take that extra step, because of he's going to be trying to get back to that point in the postseason. So I had Jamal Murray, but my second player, just because I know the type of season he's going to end up having and he's going to take the league by storm, is Zion. I think that he's going to actually come out the gates busting people, and he's going to be chasing greatness, which is probably a little blasphemous for me to say, just because I know there's some doubts with his frame and his durability, but I think he's going to make a run for it too and try to get his team into the postseason. So Jamal Murray is going to be my pick for most improved player of the year.
I like both of you guys' picks. Jamal had a great season last year. I think he's improving every single season. I wish nothing but the best for him and the Denver Nuggets. He's got a lot of talent that he has to deal with, especially people coming off of injuries. I think you guys think you know who I'm going to pick, but it's not who you think it is. John Wall. Yes, he's been out for two seasons. But again, I spent all night, watching preseason games. He literally showed signs of old John Wall, 2016 John Wall, you know what I'm saying, where he was in the MVP race last night. He still has speed. He's been out for 2 years, but I honestly think this is going to be his season where he's going to put a stamp in the league and say, yo, like, y'all remember me? Listen, people got to understand, like, this is a guy coming out. Now, if you had told me about 3 weeks ago who I would choose, it would be that kid from Golden State, Klay Thompson. But John Wall, most improved player, 20-plus points per game this season. Mark my words.
Abdi, let me ask you a question, man. Do you think with his game and him not being the focal point in the offense and being in the West that he's still going to be able to nab that award?
Now, I know the Western Conference is hard. He's going to have to deal with Dame Lillard. He's going to have to deal with Jamal Murray. He's going to have to deal with Dennis Schroeder. A lot of people don't understand Dennis Schroeder. He plays like an all-star. Like, he's still an awesome guard. Like, he's a solid guard. But John Wall is elite. You need to understand, yes, like, this man was a number one overall pick for a reason, despite the fact that he didn't play for 2 years, you know? But with all those, I think he's got it, man. He loves the challenge. He wants that competition. And God willing, he stays healthy. I think he'll win it.
Okay. Yeah, I had Dennis Schroeder as number three, but I was trying to sound unbiased. But go ahead, Johan.
I'm going to say this, and I'm really surprised Abdi did not say this, but I'm going to say this just in case if I'm right, which I always am. I really think that Marcus Smart could maybe win it as well because he's going to be starting this year, and Gordon Hayward's not there. With Marcus starting and Kemba going to be out for the first few months of the season, I really would not be surprised if Marcus Smart comes out and has career highs in points, assists, and steals. I would not be surprised if he wins that award. But going to the sixth man, and I know Abdi's going to have a great, great time with this when I tell him who I picked, the sixth man of the year, because we don't really know who's going to be coming off the bench for most teams, but we do know this gentleman is Carmelo Anthony. For the mere fact that Carmelo will be coming off the bench, guaranteed. But I really think that, you know, first off, he brought back the braids, man. All right, so you already know he's averaging damn near 20 points off the bench with that. All right, so that's one. Two, I will admit this, and Abdi's going to be so glad to hear this, but he did have a great season last year. I commend him on that. He did great all around through the season, the bubble, the playoffs in the bubble. He did a great job, and I really don't see him slowing down. I mean, he really put in that work like he always does in New York with Chris Brickley, right, is his name, from New Hampshire. Yeah, so he always puts in that work. I really just see Carmelo just continuing what he did last year and just being that great leader and great scorer that he's always been. So, Miles, who you got for sixth man, man?
Okay, don't kill me, but now with his newfound elevated platform and his expectations that his new team is going to have upon him, and the fact that he actually won it last year, I'm going to go with Montrezl Harrell. I believe he's going to actually be a force along with Dennis Schroeder. And it's funny because I have Dennis Schroeder also as number two for sixth man of the year. I think that it's between them two, to be honest. And my third, it's going to sound strange, but I do believe that Devontae Graham could end up getting it as well. And the reason I'm saying that is because I thought he kind of got robbed last year for the Most Improved Player of the Year award. He didn't even get into the conversation. And him not really being on a high market or top market team, he might not even be considered for this, but I think he's going to end up trying to show his game to the world and try to be a run-in and be a contender for one of these awards. But that's just my pick. I have Montrez, not to sound biased, but I think he's going to be a force off the bench.
This was a hard one, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't go with that team that – Miles has mentioned the Lakers definitely stole that big, big, big time player in Montrez, you know what I'm saying? But I had to stick with the JV team and I chose my guy Lou Will, you know what I'm saying? Someone cue up that Drake real quick. Listen, more touches, more freedom. Montrez is out. Sixth man of the year goes to Lou Will. He stays consistent every single year. Giannis, bro. When you mentioned Melo, bro, it was literally it was running through my mind. I was like, yo, listen, I want Melo to win this, but I know Melo's not going to win this because Dame don't pass the damn ball, bro. He don't pass the damn ball. So, like, as bad as I wanted to pick Melo, bro, I really couldn't, and I just stuck with the most consistent sixth man the NBA has ever seen, minus Jamal Crawford and Manu Ginobili. Lou Will, man, it's yours.
I have an argument to make for that, just because I know how the league works and how they are in love with storylines. I think they're going to just give it to Montrez, but that's just me.
Hey, honestly, in my opinion, Montrez is kind of overrated. He doesn't really have an offensive game. I mean, he brings in the energy, but that's really about it. And I'm not just saying that because he left the Clippers. I'm being honest, you know. And Dame, this upcoming season, he needs to be he needs to pass the ball because he has great role players now, and he needs to be more trustworthy of them if they want to make it far in the playoffs. Lastly, we had Coach of the Year, and you know, my pick was a guy who, if he does well in his role and fixes the problems that this team has had, he 1,000% deserves it, and I think he deserved it 2 years ago when he brought the Clippers to an eighth seed without an all-star and pushed the healthy Golden State Warriors to six games. My pick is Doc Rivers for the mere fact that I love Brett Brown. He did a great job bringing that culture back to Philly, but this Ben Simmons and Embiid duo has always been questionable, and if Doc Rivers can figure out a way to establish both of them as great players, and now with shooters on the team, I expect, you know, high demands for the Philadelphia 76ers. So if Doc Rivers can pull this off, I believe that he should get it, just because all these top-tier teams were already top-tier teams last year, right? The Celtics, the Bucks, the Clippers, the Lakers. So there's no clear coach that I think deserves it more than Doc Rivers. However, Eric Spoelstra, right, and Rick Carlisle should also be mentioned in this conversation if they do what they're doing as well, continuing from last season. But Doc Rivers is my pick. Hopefully he can make some noise out there, and I'll throw it over to Miles for this last pick.
You sure you're not looking at my list, man? Because it's sounding awfully similar to mine. Because for my pick for the Coach of the Year, I actually had Eric Spoelstra. Because if they're able to repeat their success and get even as far as a second-round exit in the playoffs, you know, teams, you know, they're kind of stacking up in the East. If they're able to repeat their success, then I think he's going to be more than deserving just because of the run that they had last year. And they lost some pieces this year, but their core is, for the most part, stayed together. And then I think right behind him, I also had Doc Rivers as well, just because if he, like you said, with the variable of him pulling this off and be able to have a successful season, and really in my eyes, having the first coach to figure out how to work with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid being on the floor, then I think that he'll be also deserving of the award. And then Rick Carlisle, if Dallas is able to make another playoff push, he could also be in the run for it as well. But I think Eric Spoelstra, hell, last year I thought he honestly should have got it as well. But I think he'll, if they are able to repeat that success, then he'll be more than deserving.
I'm surprised you guys picked Spoelstra. I mean, he's well-deserved and everything. I'm also surprised Giannis didn't stick with his JV team and pick Ty Lue. That was a big surprise for me. But in all honesty, you guys keep talking about, like, these awards deserve stories and there's a storyline behind every award, you know what I'm saying? And there's no bigger storyline than Monty Williams and the Phoenix Suns. So that the fact that people are just, like, continuously sleeping on them, Giannis, it's more than a reason for himself and for the team to prove that they're solid. And with the additions of Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, and then Devin Booker, I keep saying it. Guys, like, this guy, Monty's an elite coach. 10 years ago, we all saw what he did with New Orleans, CP3, David West, Peja Stojakovic. Like, it's you guys keep stating these storylines like behind every single award. No better storyline than Phoenix Suns. That's my pick.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really great pick, Abdi. And you know, I've actually been a Monty Williams fan, not because of his basketball career. I mean, he's always had a great basketball career, but for the mere fact that when his late wife passed away in that car accident, I watched a clip of him speaking at her funeral and how he was so strong. You know, like, yeah, I think he has like 5 or 6 kids, and the way he just handled everything, I looked at him and I'm like, man, you know, I really respect this guy. You know, he just sees the positive in everything, and I really respect him, and he's a great coach as well. You know, that's why Chris Paul did want to go back to Phoenix, or not go back, but go to Phoenix and be reunited with him. But moving on, to wrap it up, we got, you know, breaking news, you know. This is like the BET news, but the Technical Foul Podcast edition, right? We got James Harden spotted in Atlanta with Lil Baby, right? No mask, giving him a duffel bag full of honey buns. And a lot of money, you know. I need my friends to give me some honey buns in a duffel bag sometime. Maybe, you know, a Louis V duffel bag. But anyways, then he was spotted in Las Vegas right afterwards. And, you know, he did not communicate with his teammates at all. And, you know, there was a picture that was posted yesterday of him and PJ Tucker not looking too happy. And he was not there present for the preseason game. Miles, what's your take on this whole James Harden situation and drama? And do you think that he should join a specific team and just get over with this drama?
Well, I think James Harden is trying to bust a more provocative version of AD's ploy to get out of his team and move on to another. I think he had listed off a team being Philly and no, Brooklyn, then Philly and Miami that he wants to go to. He didn't pick Boston or Toronto. You wonder why that is, guys? I think I know. He don't like cold weather. He's a California kid. He don't want to go to no cold weather. I love y'all boys, but it is too damn cold in those regions. I think that he is definitely ruining his team chemistry by the day, as he does not get his stuff together and communicate with nobody what he is going to be doing. But they won't let him go. So that's really on the GM at that point.
No, listen. Let me just talk my ish real quick. Miles, he did pick Milwaukee, and they do have cold weather. That's one. Two, he did say he wanted to go to a contending team. And Boston is a contending team last time I checked, and I don't mind making a package for him. But three, maybe he didn't have Boston or Toronto in there because he really, you know, he has an entourage full of club experts, and they know nightclubs and their ratings. So maybe his nightclub entourage was telling him, hey, look, man, Boston got some weak-ass clubs. You know, Toronto actually has a nice nightlife out there, but, you know, that might be it. Then again, we're Boston. We're the Boston Celtics. We don't need James Harden. We can do much, much better without him. With him, he'd just be joining a full army of killers.
Oh, yeah, I can hear the pain in your voice. But, yeah, I forgot about Milwaukee. My fault. Go ahead, Abdi.
Hey, listen, man, you also forgot about Philly. Philly's very, very cold. So, hey, go listen, any team on the Eastern Conference minus the Orlando teams, you're banking in on cold weather. But, James, bro, I get it. You love throwing money around. You love spending money. You love having a good time and whatnot, but this is your way to force, you know what I'm saying? Force your way out of a team. This is not the way to do it. You look at these guys in the NFL, whenever contracts come up, what do? They sit out, they wait, they hold out. You know what I'm saying? Get out the limelight. Coronavirus is big, bro. COVID-19, COVID-20. Johannes, we was talking about that last night. You know what I'm saying? COVID-20. He said COVID-21, possibly. I wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? But, yo, James, bro, stay out the club, show some respect, and hold out like a professional. That's just my take on this whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a professional strip club goer. That's his part-time job.
Yeah, man, he's making the ones rain, man. Throw me some ones, man. I got college debt. Next up, man, we got Kyrie Irving. Breaking news. He was fined by the NBA as well as the Brooklyn Nets for his comments about not talking to the press. Shortly after, he went on Instagram talking about we'll post this, but all in all, talking about how the media was quote unquote pawns and his attention is worth more. Last time I checked, Kyrie Irving, to make this short and simple, you're an NBA player. You know, your job is to speak to the media. If you don't like it, go play for the Portland Red Claws, or go play for a team that doesn't require much media, or go hoop at a local rec park or something, man, because your job is to talk to the media and they've done nothing wrong to you. And that's all I got to say, man, you're not really worth my time, bro. And I will say this real quick. I think he's in a similar situation with Paul George, where they both don't get respect from their teammates, right, for the way that they act and their lack of leadership. And hopefully that doesn't translate into this upcoming season if they want to have a successful season moving forward. But that's all I got to say. Kyrie, all I got to say to you, bro, is Kalani.
Well, you called for that. Look, guys, maybe this isn't a bad thing. You know, he don't really need to be talking to nobody because he's the hot take king. The hot take king. Say that three times fast. He is also the same guy that said now that he has KD, that he has somebody to take that final shot, taking shots at LeBron, which is probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And the same guy that said the earth was flat. He don't need to be talking to the media. But I know Adam Silver, I know he's not going to let this stand, and Brooklyn's going to get fed up and mandate that he actually goes and talks to the media, because they're not going to want to get fined 25K every game in a 72-game season. It's not going to happen. It's his due diligence to the fans that he talks to the reporters and the media, pawns or not. I understand his message, and his mind is elsewhere within the world and all the problems, especially in our own country. But you're still a professional basketball player at the end of the day, and you are going to have to talk to the media, Kyrie. I hate to break it to you, bro. You need to realize that you're one of the leaders and the focal points on your team. And the more he talks and says stuff like that, I mean, like you had said, Johannes, it's not great for chemistry and it's not great for how your team looks at you, but that's him. I'm not surprised.
So listen, there's only one way to do this correct. If you don't like talking to the media, my guy, go on YouTube, right? You got a phone, you got a tablet, you got all the necessities you need. You feel me? You got everything you need. Type in Marshawn Lynch interview and follow directions just like that. No 25K for you, no 25K for the Nets. You will be absolutely fine, my guy. You feel me? So, Kyrie, I get it. You're portraying a message. The media misconstrues, like they don't put out, I guess, for lack of better terms, fake news. They put out a lot of fake news. And I get that you don't like talking to the media, but listen, man, gotta holler at your boy Marshawn Lynch. Give him a call. That's all I have to say about Kyrie. He's a great player. Bipolar too. I get it. You got mental health issues. Like, I get it, bro. It happens to everyone. But yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he's definitely got issues he needs to work out, man. But that's a wrap on this episode of Technical Foul Podcast, man.
Listen, yo, sweaters, hoodies, merch. In the middle, you feel me? Do that.
If y'all check out my Instagram, it's right there. You can go ahead and get your Black Lives Matter hoodie right there. It's in the bio. All the proceeds go to charity organizations involved with COVID relief for underprivileged communities. So go ahead and grab your merch, support the page. It helps us out a lot. And subscribe. We don't put this out enough, but subscribe. Help us to get to 1,000 subscribers. We're 200, literally 200 away. I know. Tell your mama. Tell your dad. tell them to subscribe. Because once we start getting that, it's only going to help us and improve the channel. Also, before we go, I also want to send some prayers up for Keontae Johnson out of University of Florida, as he actually, as of today, December 12th, he collapsed on the court playing against Florida State. So I just want to say prayers up to him and his family. I hope he's doing all right.
And that's a wrap, folks. Thank you for listening, and subscribe and get your merch.